So, Ryan, we got a note from Haddam today, but it's addressed to you.
What?
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, here.
What's on your phone?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it's from the Haddam Raccoon.
Haddam Raccoon has written us a letter.
Guys, we have another installment, Tales from the Haddam Raccoons. Let me see what he said.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Yes or no? Did you ever take banned substances to enhance your cycling performance?
Yes.
I had no prior knowledge of the planned assault on Nancy Kerrigan.
I am deeply sorry for my irresponsible and selfish behavior I engaged in.
Guys, welcome back to Oops the Podcast. Julio Gallerati, joined by my hulking, strong sidekick. Ryan is very, very polite. Lynch.
Thank you.
And strong.
300 pounds and counting.
300 pounds
300
of beef.
Pounds and counting.
Beef. Guys, I'm going to be at the House of Comedy in Detroit this weekend, 3rd and 4th of May. Very looking forward to that. Very much looking forward to that. It's going to be May, as they say.
Gonna be May.
Three shows. Definitely come out to that. Then Boston 6-1, June 1st. Pumped for that one too. Laugh Boston, two shows. Lynch will be joining me for that one, making a special guest appearance.
Yes. Very excited to go to Laugh Boston.
Along
Love Boston.
With Hannah Dickinson, JC Mendoza as well for that one. It'll be fun. Danny will be with me in Detroit. And then the 19th, Portland, Oregon. And August 3rd, Pasadena, California. Get tickets, notjulio.com. Also, guys, today, tonight, I should say, be sure to check out my Places You Can Go Nicaragua video that will come out tonight, Tuesday night. Very excited for that. Should be fun. It's just a fun, solid video, I think. Edited by Josh DePew, who is also editing my special. Shot by Zach Ray, et cetera, et cetera. Pew, pew, pew. A lot of announcements, but a lot of cool, fun stuff happening. So wanted to mention all that. Ryan, hello.
Sweet.
What's cooking?
Nothing much. I know there's a lot to talk about because a lot has happened since I've seen you last.
Yeah, dude.
Because time. I had to run an errand for Victoria yesterday. I was in the city for a mic, and I had to go to Chelsea to the Container Store.
Ooh, the old Container Store.
And so I had to pick up a shoe rack shelf. And then there's a big, long metal rod. It's really sharp. There is plastic wrap surrounding the edges so that, you know, it's safe for everybody. And so I'm carrying this thing home via the subway. And it's just a little too tall where I have to be mindful of like every movement that I make, like those right turns that you make on the staircases going down, you have to tilt it. It's like a pole vaulter.
Yeah,
just like,
right,
that's
right,
the way you have to carry it. You can't carry it straight up. It's just a little too high.
Like 45 degree angle.
Yeah, pretty much the whole time. Mm. And so I get onto the subway. I get off at my stop, which is Bedford Ave. Is that okay to disclose?
Yeah.
That's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I feel okay with that. Yeah, so I get off at Bedford Ave, and I am walking towards the staircase, and across from me is another train that's going into the city. I look out of the corner of my right eye, and I see Julio and Hill Dog sitting there. And what would you do, everybody, if you saw somebody that you know out in public when you weren't expecting to see them? You get excited. You forget about everything that's going on around you, and you do whatever you can to get their attention before they go away. So ding dong, the door closes. My window of opportunity to say hi and make eye contact with Julio is dwindling down to...
But you know, it's gone because the doors have closed, right?
I know, but you are so close. I can see you. I can tap on the window and I have an opportunity to at least get a wave in.
How physically far away from you am I?
I was standing... So if you're looking at a train directly, there's the door. If you look to your left, I could see you within the first window next to that door. I was standing by the door.
Okay. Okay.
Does that make sense?
You're inside the train, though.
I'm not in the train.
Oh, okay.
I'm outside
so your
the train.
Train. But your train is arriving.
You were on a got train. It. We got were it. On got opposite it. Trains going the opposite direction. Okay.
But do this is turning into like an LSAT problem. I'm just trying. So we're both standing on the platform.
No. Oh, we're so off from each other right now. Okay.
There's never a time where we're both on the platform?
No.
So you're arriving... I'm on the platform or on the other train?
You're already on the other train.
Got it.
So
we're both on the trains.
We're at Bedford Ave. One's coming into Brooklyn. One's leaving Brooklyn. I come into Brooklyn. I get out. I am on the platform. I look to my right as the door closes of the train that's going into Manhattan, that's leaving Brooklyn. That's when I see you.
Got it.
So we probably would have bumped into each other on the platform if I got there 10 to 30 seconds sooner.
Got it.
So I get off. I see you. I get excited. I yell, Julio, Julio. The windows are thick. Ding dong, the doors close. You guys are starting to go into the city. I start running because I need to get a wave in. I need to make eye contact with you. You guys get it. You know how it is, especially when you see someone out. You want to just say, hey, like, and that's awesome. And that's a fun thing that you have forever. Just a fun little, hey, I bumped into you. Guess who I bumped into? I bumped into Julio on the subway. I bumped into Rachel at the coffee shop. Best feeling in the world.
It is fun. When I used to journal, I would always mark who I ran into on the street in the journal very consistently. And dude, the amount of times too, one of my buddies, this guy, Ted Jones, who I think we've talked about before, he, whenever he bumps into somebody, he always will text me and be like, $20 if you can guess who I just bumped into.
Yeah.
Three guesses. It can be fun. So I do understand. And I was bummed out that we didn't see you.
But this is where my trip to the Container Store becomes a problem. I am blackout with excitement to make eye contact with Julio or Hill Dog.
Blackout
I'm running.
With excitement. It's
I am
crazy.
Running. I have the box for the shoe rack in my right hand, and I have the sharp metal stick in my left. And it is tall, and you need to tilt it if you want to move forward. It's like a track.
Yeah, but it's not 300 pounds.
I am in pursuit. I am in pursuit of an interaction with Julio and Hilldog. I am running down the platform as if I'm about to pole vault or joust.
Yeah, that's
against somebody in the medieval times.
Javelin.
And I am tapping on the window. I thought I got you. Then the train went too fast, so I start sprinting, and I'm running with this violent weapon. And then I look over and I see my peripheral vision, a man stop. And he's just standing there like, oh, I was so close to piercing his stomach with the rod because I was so focused on trying to get your attention.
How close was the thing to him?
I pulled the rod back. The rod was probably within 3 feet of him. And I'm running.
Running full speed.
And I pulled it back up. And then I just quickly ran up the stairs and Jesus. I didn't even like acknowledge him. I didn't even say sorry because I was just so embarrassed. Because from his perspective, I'm just a crazy person.
You didn't even say sorry?
No.
You just, what did you do? And he was doing this.
He was like, oh, fuck.
And you just looked at him and didn't say
I didn't even. I just ran past him. I pulled it up. I ran past him. How do you explain yourself? So you I was trying to say hi to my friend.
You didn't stop. You just moved.
I just
you
pulled
continued
the,
to run.
I tilted the volt up and I just ran past him.
And you had already given up on me at this point, so you just were running with a pole.
Yeah, but this is all like 2.5 seconds total. Like this is so fast. So I forgot that I had this sharp object in my hand.
So
and
funny,
from this yeah. guy's perspective, I am just a violent person.
I wonder what he thought you were doing.
I don't know. And then luckily I didn't strike him because that would have been a thing. That would have been a real thing. If I struck him, I think it would have broke skin. It's a sharp piece of metal.
Yeah, and to your point, you can't. He's like, dude, what are you doing? You're like, I was trying to say hi to my friend.
I didn't even like it. Just happened so fast that I just went up the stairs and was like, I need to leave,
dude.
I didn't, and then I texted you, and that makes it not cool. When you text somebody and you say, oh, I saw you.
No,
it makes
you
sound like a big pussy that didn't have the balls to say hi.
You sent me a picture and I was looking for myself in the picture, but I think you were just showing me the proximity of how close we theoretically were to each other, right?
No, I just sent you a picture of the rod. But where were you off to?
Where the fuck was I going? I was going to hang out with my buddy uptown, actually.
Nice.
Going to watch the Knicks. But dude, this reminds me of... You know, these moments can like change your life. These little chance moments. And, you know, you could have, I don't think you would have killed that guy, but who knows? Like if you collided with him with this metal pole that appears to be fairly sharp, you know, it could have made your life annoying, you know, made your life difficult.
Like jail.
I mean, but even if you just knock the guy over and now you're talking and you're like, why was I running? I just didn't need to be running.
I wanted to say hi to my friend.
Right. Yeah. No. So. Dude, this happened to me with my fucking tooth, bro. I was going to watch the sound mix of my special. Okay. We're getting close to being done with that. Hopefully it'll be done soon. And I'm eating a bag of Skinny Pop. Okay. I'm at the end of the bag. Now, at the end of the bag, it starts to become annoying to grab the little crumbs of popcorn. So what do? You dump the bag into your mouth and then you throw out the bag. So being that it was a bag of already popped popcorn from a brand, I dumped and I chewed with impunity. There was a rock hard kernel in the bag and I immediately broke one of my molars in half. Immediate, it was terrible. And then I'm in the middle of a conversation and I let the conversation finish. And then I'm like, by the way, this is insane, but I just broke my tooth in half. And they didn't even know how to react, to the point where the next time I told a person in the same setting who joined us, it felt uncomfortable. I'm trauma dumping or something. It felt very weird. So anyway, I'm sitting there, it's fine, but I'm panicking in my brain. We're watching. And then I had a meeting after. I take the meeting. By the time the meeting's over, it's too late to go to the dentist. So now I just sort of don't know what the deal is. Now I'm not bleeding or anything and it hurts, but more from the trauma of your tooth breaking in half, not because there's some sort of deeper thing. It appeared to be a bit of a clean break.
So was it more of an emotional pain as opposed to a physical pain?
Sort of. There was no real pain. There was a little bit of an ache, but it was fine. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm feeling this crater on the side of my tooth. And dude, by the way, it's as if somebody built the tooth. That's how cleanly the thing popped off. You know how in Formula One, the cars are designed to just explode when they crash?
Yeah.
And then they maintain the pod. That's mm-hmm. how it, right? So it was almost as if somebody built my tooth for that. Because a piece of it just broke clean off. It wasn't a filling. It was just a strong, normal molar. But the cusp completely came off. Gone. Crater. And I didn't know what a cusp was until this happened to me. It's just the side of the molar. So anyway, I call dentists. I call this, that, blah, 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 blah. My dentist that I usually go to, who, by the way, is just kind of an interesting, he's an ornery character. We've talked about him on the pod a little bit, but he's just kind of he's nice, but he's also not gentle. I'll be and he'll literally be you're fine. Dude, I'm not kidding. You're fine. What will you talk about in your comedy act?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, this guy.
Your crazy dentist from your Persian dentist. Is this guy, where did this guy even go to dental school? As I'm sitting there screaming.
That's not gentle.
So it's Monday when this happens. They can't see me till Thursday. It's, Jewish holidays, whatever. So the guy wasn't going to be around. So I'm kind of what am I going to do? I post online being seeing if I know anybody and I can get hooked up or something. Nothing really comes of that. I got a little bit of help. Thank you to Dr. Kazarin, OG listener of the pod, who is in her residency now. She specializes in root canals and stuff. So anyway, I end up going to Hill Dog's dentist. It's going to be expensive, which sucks. It's $2,000. Mm-hmm. I don't have insurance that this place will take. And it has been such a disaster to find people who take my insurance. Also, the Persian guy only takes my insurance for cleanings, but not for other dental work. And dude, I'm not kidding when I tell you the dentist that I used to go to before, they didn't even have a phone number. You had to physically go in person. And it was all students. It was in kind of a bad neighborhood. It was the poor person dentist, to be honest. And I have bad cavities from it. They fucked my teeth up. So I'm I'm not doing that again. You know what I mean? So I was fuck it. I'm just going to bite the bullet and I'm going to go to this expensive dentist.
No pun intended.
Yes, correct. No pun intended. Nicely
done. Bite the kernel.
Bite the kernel. So dude, I went and look, it was painful. Hour and a half procedure of drilling and whatever. But dude, how much better of an experience this was than the dentistry that I've been going for in the past 10 years. Was literally life-changing. Why I didn't just get on Hillary's insurance, I couldn't fucking tell. I could tell you why, but it was flawed thinking. I just figured, do you guys have insurance stuff? It's such a pain in the ass. I finally figured my shit out, and I'm all right, I have a system. It works. If I change to Hillary's, there might be, unexpected stuff, deductibles, higher copay, blah, blah, blah. I'm I don't want to deal with any of that shit. I'm just going to go with my insurance and hope it all works out. You know what I mean? I found my doctor. I found my this. I found my that. Anyway, that was the wrong way to be thinking because, dude, how much better every step of the process was yesterday was crazy. Now, look, when you go to the dentist, inevitably, at some point, the dentist is going to poke you and it's going to hurt and they're going to be surprised. It's you guys haven't done this a million times. How are you shocked that just hurt me. It's usually at the beginning and the end or whatever. Like at one point I was like, ah, and I literally like threw my hands up in the air and the guy's like, you felt that? I'm like, yes, dude. He's like, oh wow. The numbing really wears off fast. You, I'm like, I'm a big guy, dude. Fucking shoot me up. But anyway, the needle felt way better than it normally does. Like in the past, it's hurt so much at these other places, felt fine. Dude, at one point while they were drilling my tooth, I was like, I could take a nap right now. I could take a nap right now.
Are you enjoying it?
Like, no, but it was like so pleasantly better than what I'm used to. And it made me understand why normal people aren't afraid of the dentist. Because while it sucks, it doesn't suck as bad as it has sucked for me. But you know, I found out I have another cavity, and then I had a, I take care of my teeth. I don't get it. But anyway, one of the cavities that I had, he was able to fix while he was fixing my tooth. So anyway, current status, they filed my tooth down and they put a temporary onlay on it. A new onlay is being created. In 3 weeks, I'm going to go back and they're going to put it on, but the painful part of the process is out of the way. And yeah, it was nice.
I think that though this has been a terrible experience for you, this is a wake up call for a lot of people that carelessly bite into things.
I guess
without any repercussions, it happens so fast, right?
So fast. And dude, the amount of times I've bitten on like a pitted olive that just ended up having a pit in it, or whatever, like. And be like, did I break something? And this time it finally happened. And the sensation was a little bit more than usual. I'm feeling around and I'm like, wow, I broke my fucking tooth in half. But guys, dental care is not something that can be skimped on. Your teeth are your only teeth that you're ever going to have. And if you neglect them, it is literally going to shorten your life.
Really?
I think so. Maybe I'm just making this up, but like tooth pain and like that, it has to be such a bummer, like as you get older, like tooth problems. I know you can just get dentures or whatever, but bro, I'm saying like taking care of your teeth is worth the investment. It's different than the doctor. You know, like the doctor is like treating you for things, and like granted, you don't want to go to a shitty doctor, but like having your teeth cared for, now that I have experienced a sort of like difference in quality of care, it will be one of my top priorities as far as money goes for the rest of my life, I think. I'm gonna keep going, because the dentist, and Hillary said this to me once and it's true, the dentist is only bad when you don't go. I used to have a pet duck.
This is the first time
I haven't thought about this in a while. I know. Okay, so I used to have a pet duck. I actually won this duck at a fair. So dude, and I used to go to Italy in the summer when I was a kid just to visit family, not every year but every couple of years, right? In Europe, people don't throw stuff. They kick stuff, like for sports, right? Like people play soccer. No one plays baseball. There's no football. Like you're not used to throwing shit. So like you go to the carnival and there are these games where you have to throw stuff. And like my brother and my dad and I had this like unique advantage, like being American, where we played baseball. Like we were just really good at throwing compared to everybody else. Everybody else is throwing like this and we're like ripping it. Mm-hmm. So we'd win all the games. So we won a live animal. We won a duck. And we brought this duck back. And he lived on, there's a family farm, which is still in the family technically. And actually my cousin Luca, and guys, by the way, you should do this. If you're ever looking for like a fun trip idea, my cousin Luca, who lives in Atlanta, he does these trips where he takes you to Italy for like a food and wine trip, basically. Like some Stanley Tucci type shit. And you go around all the places that I'm from, because he inevitably is from there. He's trying to get me to go maybe like do one of my videos there, which could be really fun. Uh-huh. But anyway, you visit like La Beccheria, which is this farm that like my dad was literally born on. You can go to Big G's birthplace and it's gorgeous and you do all this shit. So anyway, the duck lived on La Beccheria, which is the name of the farm, and he died one day. And when I asked what happened to him, they said that he drowned. And I'm like, he's a duck. Like how would a duck drown? The duck's name was Pinu. Pinu.
Is that Italian for something?
No, I don't even know, bro. I'm not sure. I don't think so, but like it is like an Italian sounding ass name. I think we just like made it up, but like the way you'd make up a dog name here, but like through an Italian thinking. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the duck drowned supposedly. And I was like, well, he's a fucking duck. How would a duck drown? I'm 10 years old. I'm not an idiot. And they're like, well, he was in a cage and the water level rose really high and then he drowned.
Oh, wow.
But I got to be honest, dude, I don't know if I fucking buy that. It sounds like bullshit to me. I'm curious what happened for real.
So where is the cage relative to where the water levels would rise? Was it by a pond or a
lake? I'm not sure. Like, I don't actually know. Like, I went back to America and I couldn't bring the animal to America. Mm-hmm. You can't like bring livestock with you. So he just stayed in Italy. And then I found out, I asked, hey, whatever happened to, and they're like, oh, he drowned. Which I think that maybe what happened is the day that I fucking left, they just like let him go or whatever, or like killed him.
Interesting.
I don't know. I'll never know for sure, but I'd like to ask. My dad keeps talking about G3. When we have Big G back on the pod, we'll have to check him about this.
Yeah.
I have a couple animal conspiracy theories about death of pets.
Yeah, but wait, with this duck, what was their explanation when you asked how he was doing? You repeat it?
I think I was just like, hey, how's like Pinu doing? And they're like, ooh, he actually turns out he died.
Yeah. I wouldn't be too excited if my nephew won an animal, brought it to my house, and then left.
But, bro, it's a farm. I mean, they have giant sows, like giant pigs and cows, and, like, they had animals and chickens. Dude, my Zielbina, I guess it's my dad's Zielbina, like, his aunt lived on the farm. And, bro, she was, like, 80 years old, running around, like, catching chickens with her bare hands, and, like, they'd scratch her leg. Like, it's amazing how living a sort of active life can make you so nimble late into life. Like, she was like in her 80s running around, dude.
Wow.
Yeah, it was nuts. But anyway, so the duck thing, good point, I guess. I don't know what ended up happening, or they just like gave it away immediately. That's what seems like what happened there. This one my dad claims is actually true, but I'm still skeptical about it. My cat, we left my cat with Dave, this guy Dave, my dad's friend Dave, when we went to Italy one summer. And Dave was watching the cat. And one day Dave calls and he says to my dad, he's like, I have really, really bad news. And my dad's like, oh my God, what the fuck? Like, what happened? And he's like, well, Frisky passed away. This is my first cat, Frisky. And my dad was so relieved. He's like, oh, thank God. Like, I thought you were going to tell me. But then he told us, bro, I'm not kidding you. I cried for like 10 straight days about the cat being dead in Italy. I was like eight, 10 straight days of sobbing.
Compartmentalized sobbing, like at different times of day, once a day for 10 days?
Like, sure. Like, very consistently.
I'm not trying to diminish
your sadness.
You're not, I know.
But like, multiple bouts of sobbing daily. Yeah. And maybe more front-loaded the first couple of days. I found out I couldn't stop crying. Then maybe by the end, I'd be fine for half the day and then cry. You know what I mean? Like, grief.
Yeah.
Grief arc. And supposedly what happened, Dave lived in a cul-de-sac. Apparently, the cat, and where I'm from, I don't know if this is normal, but where I'm from, you just let your cats out and then they come back whenever they want. They don't live outside, they live inside, but they go out and then when they're ready to come back in, they come to the door. And because of that, like there'd be some like gruesome cat deaths. Like I'd be walking down the street, my friend Ryan's cat, Chester, was literally flattened on the sidewalk and he ran home screaming. Now there are Fisher cats in my woods, which we've talked about, I think briefly, are like a smaller Wolverine. Mm-hmm. And they have this cry where they go, it's like the scariest, and they just like eat cats. And so anyway, it's like dangerous. Like I think people where I'm from should be house catting their cats anyway. And there's ticks too. But anyway, supposedly Frisky got hit by a skateboard. Somebody riding a skateboard hit Frisky. How doesn't that sound fucking sus, dude?
No, this is before like electric skateboards and everything. That sounds,
this is 1994, dude. There's no shot that Frisky, like, it sounds to me like, I don't think we ever found the body. I never saw the body. I never got to ID Frisky. I call cap on the duck. I call cap on Frisky.
Dave, that's a lame excuse.
Yeah. Dave, I wonder to this day, bro, what happened. Dave is still out there. I know my dad talks to him every once in a while. He lives in Virginia now. Good guy. Dave and Takako is his wife.
How could a, physically, like, let's what's it called? What's the show on? We'll cut this. What's the show on Discovery Channel where they let's Mythbuster this.
Okay, Mythbuster.
Physically, how can you kill a cat with a skateboard? Because if it gets ran over, or like if you were to argue that it got ran over, as soon as the wheel or the board touches the cat, of all animals they have the fastest reflexes. They would hop out of the way immediately.
Totally.
So it would not just get hit by a skateboard unless they were going 100 miles an hour where there's no opportunity to escape it, but you're on a cul-de-sac.
Well, so cars, yeah, exactly. Cars, you know, say a car going 35 miles an hour can kill a cat.
Yes.
A skateboard can't go that fast. And if it could, you'd have to be in some sort of like specific environment, like you're a skateboarder in a competition.
At the bottom of a half pipe. On the road,
yeah, bro. And
you have to pin the cat down at the bottom of a half pipe at the X Games.
Dave's Road, to your point, cul-de-sac. Mm-hmm. So you can't even build it. And dude, it wasn't like steep. It was just like a pretty flat. Like it was, there was enough that you could probably get going. Maybe you could get going maybe 15 miles an hour if you were an expert skateboarder.
And it's got to be perfect, fresh concrete. Because if it's a little cobbly, like that slows you down insanely.
So when my dad brought this up the other day, I thought there was a chance that he was going to disclose what had really happened. But there's a chance that like something much worse happened to the cat. And they said the skateboard thing because for whatever reason, it didn't sound as bad. But there's a chance that Frisky met a much more gruesome fate that we don't know about.
And so the skateboard was reported to your dad as the cause of death.
Supposedly. But bro, it's
so he relayed the information over to you.
Yes. But guess what, man? There's one constant in both of these stories. It's that Big G is the one delivering the information.
We need him back for this.
And bro, Big G is known for not being good at lying. Like the same face he makes when he thinks he's being funny, he makes when he's lying. He goes, it's insane. So I don't know, man. I'd like to get to the bottom of both of these, Dad. So when we have G3, we'll have to...
Maybe we get Dave on the phone.
Maybe we get Dave on the phone.
Is Dave still in
Dave's around.
Big G's circle?
I think they still chat.
Is he within Big G's cul-de-sac?
Yeah. They chat from time to time. So maybe we can see if we can get Dave on the horn and figure out what really happened there. which is funny because I'm supposedly the one who lied about the deer story. If you guys have been listening to the pod for a long time, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. If you don't, if you're newer... Basically, the deer, I hit a deer. shit. I hit a deer with the car. I was never able to prove it. And my dad doesn't believe me to this day. And I swear to God, I hit a deer.
Couldn't find a hair follicle.
I did find a hair follicle eventually. Shout out to Ryan, my friend who was in the car with me, who's the most honest person of all time. Honest Abe, might as well be.
Is this the same Ryan that found his cat?
Yes. Latin. Poor Ryan, bro. Ryan deserved better. He's a good guy. One of my oldest friends in the world. So anyway, dude. Yeah, pet trauma. Like as a kid, man, it's tough enough as an adult. Like I just imagine as a kid, and I didn't have dogs growing up, but like the bond with a dog is more significant than it is with a cat. Ultimately, the dog kind of depends on you more. Cats are more independent. And while I loved my cats growing up, like I see people with dogs when they lose their dog, it's like losing a human more so than losing a cat.
If my dog got ran over the same way that Ryan's cat did, it would be a very somber household forever. My dog is my mom's life.
Yeah. But I wanted a cat so bad. Ryan, again, Ryan's cat, I think the cat's name was, no, it wasn't. It was Jake. No, Charlie's cat was Jake. And then my Zia Tony, may he rest in peace, his cat was Sam. Sam's sister had a bunch of kittens. And I think Sam or Sam's mom. So my uncle got a cat. And then I begged my mom for weeks. And she eventually caved in. And like, dude, I'm not kidding you. The first couple of months, she'd turn around a corner and shriek when she saw the cat. And she had a dog when she was a kid. But now my mom has grown to love cats.
Yeah.
And we always have a bunch of cats, like whatever. And there was one that was special named Micho, which is funny. Like in Italy... people are not as sentimental, to my knowledge, at least where we're from, about pets. Like, Micho it just means cat, which was like a cute name in America, but in Italy, your cat is just named cat.
It's just a noun.
You didn't even name it.
It's just what it is.
Bro, the cats don't come inside. You don't let them in the house. They eat pasta, which is insane. But like, they eat the leftover table food. And then, like, whatever happens to them, and that's it. And, like...
Yeah, wait, you want to say trigger warning together three times? Trigger warning.
No, we don't need to be that trigger. You want to?
You can't.
Okay, Lynch wanted to do this. You guys can decide whether or not.
Oh, you'll appreciate it.
Trigger warning. We're about to talk about cruelty to animals.
Just for a second.
Not anything that we have done.
Thank you for that.
Obviously. So anyway, if they have kittens, they murder them.
Really?
Yes, they drown the kittens.
Who drowns the kittens?
Like the person who's the person. Like if the cat had a bunch of kittens, like it's common there to drown the cats. But dude, I have a funny one. So one of my ex-girlfriends had a dog, and she clearly like didn't care about this dog that much. Like, you know, they were a well-to-do family. Like this dog lived at one of their houses, and the security guys had security people at their house. The security guys kind of took care of them. Mm-hmm. And one time I kind of noticed that the dog wasn't around, and I don't know if I said anything. I might've asked her mom, like, where's Coco? And the mom was like, oh, I don't know. Like, I wonder where. And what would happen a lot of the time is someone would give me a ride back to the city, 'cause they lived in Connecticut, like right over the border. Mm-hmm. And as I was waiting in the driveway for someone for the guy to come grab me, her mom goes, hey, Julia. I'm like, yeah. She goes, by the way, she's like, Coco is missing. We don't know where she is. But blank, name of my ex-girlfriend, hasn't noticed yet. So just don't say anything to her.
Wow. Like,
that is crazy. That, like, I've never heard in the history of pet ownership someone just not noticing that their dog isn't there. I'm pretty sure this was her dog. And, like, that dog had slept in bed with us before.
Wow. That is tough, dude. Did they find Coco?
I think so.
Wow. Good. Dude. Then good. But, yeah, that's good. Heavy. You reminded me of something. This is an interesting wrinkle. So I have a friend who is single, and he's out getting social. He went back to some girl's apartment recently, and they were about to hanky-panky, but she has this tiny little dog, and he kept trying to get involved in the hookup, and she didn't pay any mind to it. And so my friend is like, you know, flustered and not about this like unwanted threesome with this dog, just tiny little dog jumping and pouncing on them while they're making out or whatever and fornicating. And he had to like, I'm tired. 'Cause she would not, it's her responsibility. My dog is like in between us right now while we're like really getting at it. And it really took him out, and
the dog rock blocked it.
A little rock block. So the dog has been like a real roadblock for my friend.
That's crazy.
And it's like,
bro,
a thing right now, because he really likes her and she really likes him, but
she won't curb her dog.
No, she always posts pictures of her dog. Like, she's obsessed with this dog. And so I think she was well aware that the dog was in the bed with them, and it wasn't even watching. It was trying to participate. It just wanted to know.
Wanted to like be. Yeah.
It wanted to be in there.
That has happened to me, dude. And it's happened in two ways. Like, first of all, what you're discussing, where I'm like trying to do whatever, and the dog keeps getting involved, biting me, nipping at me, like trying to get pet, like wanting the attention, like being a ball hog. And dude, this is a crazier version of this. One time I was house sitting for someone. I had a girl over. I was allowed to do this. It wasn't like, and her dog, Leia, would sleep with me in bed every night. And this one night I didn't let the dog sleep in the bed because my guest was over, which is a nice way to handle that, which I wish your friend was able to get the same sort of courtesy. But when I went outside in the morning, the dog had pissed and shit all over the apartment as vengeance. Isn't that crazy? He's like, oh, nope, not. You're going to pay the price for this, pal. He's
the dog of the house.
So Ryan, we got a note from Haddam today, but it's addressed to you.
What?
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, here.
What's on your phone?
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's from the Haddam Raccoon.
Haddam Raccoon has written us a letter.
Guys, we have another installment, Tales from the Haddam Raccoons. Let me see what he said. 'Twas a gentle spring Saturday morning at the local coffee shop where the whole town of Haddam would share banter in a fresh pot. Where Mama Raccoon just learned how to cold brew to keep up with the times, make sure things were fresh and new. With the same old crew that helped her open this little nook in 1925. 'Twas a gentle spring morning, not as gentle as before. Across the street, a new cafe owner cut the ribbons to his door. Avo Cafo Roast, franchise store number 72,302. Espresso made with no love, no passion, no vision. One person presses a button and leaves the rest to an algorithm. The local coffee shop got less and less busy. After just a few days, Mama Raccoon could only afford to keep the lights on dimly. She saw her crew quit one by one, knowing that her days of serving the local community might soon be done. One more day passes and things are looking grim. She hasn't eaten in days and is looking deathly thin. But fear not, my friends. That's not how this tale ends. We're living in Haddam, and we have some really good friends. Skirt, skirt, skirt goes the scooter, parked in front of the new spot. Big G stays back while the Haddam raccoon walks in and takes stock. Of all the greedy, backstabbing neighbors who just betrayed his mom. But he held back his anger, clenched his claws within his palm. He had a mission to complete, so he remained calm. One hot coffee with acorn milk, he typed into the kiosk. And I'll have the avocado toast, requesting the machine to take the cheese off. He grabbed his cup and he grabbed his plate, assessed the room, ripped the pit out of the avocado, and became irate. He tossed it at the wall at the most perfect angle, where it landed on a metal rod above the brewing machine it would dangle. All of you, listen! As he turned to the crowd, I'll say this one time, and I'll say it real loud. You all betrayed each other. In Haddam, we support local businesses, especially ones started by my mother. Big corporations taking your money with ease, while my mom takes out another mortgage on her sycamore tree. Paying extra for convenience at the cost of a friend after all I've done for you. This is the thank you that you send? Enjoy this last sip, because this is the end. Big G pulls back his slingshot and aims it for the pit. He holds his breath and whispers, let's blow up this shit. He releases his finger. He makes direct impact. The pit falls into the machine and the algorithm was cracked. An explosion erupted, the sky filled with black smoke aroma. Big G smirked and whispered, that's some fresh hot mocha. And out from the fog came two little feet. It was the Haddam raccoon, and he jumped on the seat. They drove away and soon were gone. So here is a lesson you soon won't forget. Don't turn your back on those who serve you, or else you'll be filled with regret. I think that's the end of it.
Very, very nice. The Haddam raccoon's vendetta getting slightly more personal.
Very nice.
This is Big G's Motorcycle Gang, and we've been receiving these anonymous sort of poems.
I guess he got a slingshot. That's pretty cool. Your dad would have a slingshot.
I'm pretty sure he has always had one.
That checks out.
As a kid, he always had one. He was getting a lot of trouble with the slingshot. So whoever's writing that, this sounds to be authentic. The Haddam raccoons live on, protecting those who are in need.
Yeah. It's good to hear from them. It's been a minute.
Yeah, so. Good to hear from the raccoons. Yeah,
they're doing their part.
Very, very nice. Thank you for sending. Guys, Hoops the Podcast, hit us up. HoopsThePodcast@gmail.com. You can DM us at NotJulio, at RyanIsReallyPlay, at Hoops the Podcast. I'm also at NotJulioG on TikTok and Snapchat. Check out my new video installment, Place You Can Go, Nicaragua. It'll be on my YouTube channel, on Julio Gallerati. I think it's NotJulio is the channel on YouTube. Search for a Place You Can Go, Nicaragua. It'll pop up. I think you'll like it. It's a lot of fun. And come see me this weekend, Detroit, 3rd and 4th. I'm at the House of Comedy. One show Friday, two Saturday. Looking forward to that. Then the 1st of June, Laugh Boston. Lynch will be there. Two shows. Those should be pretty popping. I'm very excited for it. Come out. Check it out.
Yeah. And then if you guys are listening this far into the podcast, just one simple request. If you guys could do us a favor, leave us a review on Apple or on Spotify. That really helps us out. Check out the YouTube version of the show. We just got a brand new backdrop. And so, you know, we're just continuing to add to the studio. And we're happy with the video format of the pod, too. So if you join us there, that'd be great. We love you guys. We'll talk to you later.